Hey, good morning, Northwoods. Hebrews 13:8 says that Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is faithful to draw near to us when we call on his name. So today, let's sing about his goodness. Come on.
When I need a drink from the well, when my heart is crushed and overwhelmed, and all I see is chaos around me, I'll remember you. When I fall and see the victory won, when at last the miracle has come, when I look and all I see is favor. With the rising of the sun, I'll sing your praise.
Come on, lift your voice.
Even when my days are done, I'll sing your praise. In the sowing war, the reaping still the same. 'Cause you've always been good to me.
Yeah. Jesus is waiting. God so loved the world.
Holy Spirit, we just invite you to flood this place today. Changed in your presence, Spirit, come moving.
Yes, Holy Spirit, we invite you in this place. God, come invade our hearts, invade our lives, our homes, our schools, our workplace, everywhere that we go. Praise you today.
Today. He's breaking down walls today. He's setting captives free today. Right here, right now, the Spirit of God is alive. Come on, begin to sing that out. Begin to prophesy. Begin to declare those words. Because even when I don't see it,
are you thankful? That's who our God is. Worship team, I'd like to for us to sing that again. Just that bridge, that chorus again. Because church, here's the deal. Sometimes we sing these songs Sunday in and Sunday out, and it just becomes words. Just becomes words. We are not singing just any song. We're not singing just words today. What we are singing is eternal truth about who our God is. This is who He is. So I want to encourage you, as we sing this bridge and chorus again, I want you to lean in. Even if you don't feel like singing, even if it doesn't feel true, lean in, sing it out loud. Thank the Lord for who He is in your life. Come on, church. Thank you, Lord.
Come on, sing
Come
it
on.
Again. Sing it again.
Lift your voice. Lift your voice. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you.
Today, that even when our circumstances do not change, you stay the same. You stay the same, Lord. So, Father, we thank you that we can rest in the confidence of who you are. Lord, we say today as your people, we trust you. No matter what we see with our eyes or feel with our hearts, we trust you, Lord. We trust your word. We trust who you are. And it's your name, Jesus. It's you that we give all the praise and all the glory to today. Everyone said, amen. 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 Well, church, as you're finding your seats today, I want to welcome all of you to Northwoods, whether you're here, whether you're online, whether you're brand new or whether you've been coming for years, we are glad that you are here. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the pastors here at Northwoods. And I want to give a quick shout out to those of you that are new. If you're brand new with us here today, we want to meet you. We really do. So if you're new, either head out to one of the new here kiosks out in the lobby after the service, or text new, N-E-W, to the number on the screen so that you can meet one of our pastors before you leave here. And hopefully that'll help make this place feel a little bit more familiar to you, a little bit more like home since you know some people, all right? Now, I've got a number of things to say today, but before I do, I want to let all of you know up front that if you miss anything in what I'm going to cover today, that you can go right into the connection card in the Northwoods app, and you can get more information on anything I've talked about, okay? So if you go, what was that link he said? Or I need more information on that class and I didn't do it right there in the service. Just open the connection card. You can check a box there and you'll get an automatic email sent to you with the information that you need, okay? So just know all that's there in the connection card. Now, every Sunday, we always stop and take time to say thank you for your giving. Because together it's our giving that helps fuel the very ministry that's done here at this church. We could not do ministry apart from your sacrificial giving. So every Sunday we want to make sure we say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for your giving. But we also want to remind you that if you are giving today, there's practically millions of ways that you can, all right? You can give here at the drop boxes around the building. You can give in the app, online, by text, by mail, whatever works the best for you, you can make use of all those ways. Now, I need to tell you about Get Free, all right? In Luke 4, before Jesus started his public ministry, he quotes from the prophet Isaiah, and he basically gives us, in a couple verses, his mission statement. Here's what I've come to do. And one of the things he says is that he came to proclaim liberty to the captives. He came to set the captives free. This was foundational and core to what Jesus came to do. But sadly, there are many Christians today who they may know that their sins are forgiven, but they're not free from their sin, or they're not free from the power of sin in their life. And so this is why we put together the Get Free classes. This is a foundational core class to Northwoods. It's designed to teach you some of the biblical principles about freedom and help you apply them to your life. Ultimately, Get Free is the first crucial step to experiencing more freedom in your life, more of the freedom that Christ Jesus came to give you. And I've had people asking me about Get Free for a long time, saying, when's the next Get Free class going to come? When's the next Get Free class going to come? Well, I'm here to tell you today, it's almost time, all right? So we've told you way far in advance. Get Free is going to start near the end of August, so you have plenty of time to sign up. Don't wait till then. Sign up now to make sure you reserve your spot in that class when we offer it. So if you know someone who could benefit from it, maybe you yourself have never been through it, either go to northwoods.church/get-free to sign up, or again, right there in the connection card, you can get more information about how to sign up. Now, this morning, that was where my announcements were going to end. But we have to throw a little audible here. So first, I need to tell those of you that are online that initially our plan today was going to be to stream the audio of our guest speaker to you. However, we had to make a last-minute change in order to protect the security of our guest speaker. He serves Jesus in a place where his life is constantly at risk. His life and the lives of his churches are at risk. And so today, for those of you that are watching online, you're actually going to be hearing from another one of our global partners, Philip Murdoch, a message he preached back in February. Okay, so I just want to give you online the heads up that that is coming for you. And then for the rest of you here in the room, all right, I want to be very clear up front. Again, our guest speaker who's here today, we are privileged and honored to have him because he has risked his life for the gospel. Yes. We want to honor such men, but one of the ways we honor him today is by helping to protect him, okay? So we are asking that no one in this room would take any photos, any videos, don't post anything to social media. If you do, you are putting him and his churches at risk. So that's serious, all right? So just don't, no photos, no videos, no social media. Put the phone away and just let your heart receive from what he has to share with us today, all right? Now, I'm gonna turn it over to our senior pastor, John. He's gonna introduce this series, and then he'll introduce our special guest speaker for you.
I wanted to just really say thank you, especially to you guys at Northwoods, because since we began our relationship with you guys, we began our relationship with you guys started coming down to Rio, and you guys really helped us. You guys were a massive game changer in our church. And I know that you guys have been a game changer across the world. I think you will have planted thousands of churches eventually around the world. I think 800 churches so far. And in our church, when you guys started investing and coming down and building a relationship with us, our church, when you guys began the relationship with us, our church was about 250 people. And today, our church is about 3,700 people in the last 5 years. You guys invested in significant strategic churches in Rio. And those churches have grown in an amazing way. And the reason I love church planting, Pastor Craig asked me to preach about a church planting culture. The reason I love church planting is when you plant a church, you affect the area completely. If you think about your church, this whole area has completely changed because of your church. Isn't that true? Everything around this area has completely been transformed because of your church. The same thing with every church that is planted. I was watching those little videos about the churches that are being planted in Indonesia and in Pakistan and India. Every single church that is planted is completely affecting everything around them. It is amazing what happens. I have a little video of an area that was affected because of our church, because of the churches that you planted with us. Recently, 1 week ago, there was a massive flooding that happened about 90 minutes away from our church. And because of the churches that you planted with us, we just naturally, our church naturally said, well, we've got to do something. Now, one of the things that our church has done is we planted the Dream Center and we gathered a bunch of people. So just a quick video of what naturally occurs when you plant a church. So why don't we watch this video?
Thank you.
Amen. Because you plant a church, the whole community's changed. That happens all the time. Because of the churches that we planted through you guys, because of that, we've started a school, and then we started another school. Now we've started 8 schools because of the churches you guys have planted through us. Because of the churches you planted through us, we started a dream center, and then we started another dream center. Now there are 3 dream centers, and because of that, we're reaching 500 kids every week through all kinds of courses. It's amazing. We're training people how to get out of unemployment. We're training them how to build sheetrock and how to paint and how to do welding, all kinds of things we're doing, because it is the natural extension of planting a church. So what is missions? Missions is church planting. So I really just wanted to come and say thank you to you guys for that. And really what I wanted to say is that everybody is called to church planting. You are called to church planting. And you know, I'm so humbled to come here and talk to you about a church planting culture, because you guys do have a church planting culture. You are a church planting culture. And you know, a church planting culture can be so many things. You know, it can involve money, and you guys have given so much. It can involve training, and you have the School of Ministry, and that's amazing. And it can involve motivation. And so if there's one thing I can do today, you know, I didn't bring any money to give out, and you know, I didn't bring much training. I think you guys really have that. But if I can just kind of talk to you a little bit about motivation, because I think that each one of you, maybe you can do something that isn't only money and that isn't only being involved with training. Maybe that there's something else that you guys can specifically be involved in church training, in church planting. When I was a kid, I remember I was with my cousin once, and we were standing on a bridge, and we were looking down this river, and we were racing paper boats. And I remember we were throwing paper boats in this river, and we were watching to see whose paper boat was gonna go further down the river. Have anyone done that? And so the interesting thing is that So often, my paper boat would, as it would go around the corner, it would get stuck, and my cousin would always win, and it really would irritate me. But sometimes I think that our calling, we get excited about our calling, about church planting or whatever you think your calling is. But sometimes over time, our calling kind of gets stuck halfway down the way. And what I want to do today is maybe kind of get your calling unstuck just a little bit. Unstuck. You know, Jesus preached, and in Matthew 22, verse 14, he said, many are called, but few are chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. So many times people talk about that and what it means to be chosen. I just want to talk to you a little bit about being called. It says many are called. And today, you know, if you'd let me, maybe we could say that we are all called. And we're all called to what? To advance God's kingdom. And in my opinion, we're all called to advance God's kingdom by planting the body of Christ here, abroad, all over the place, by planting churches. We're all called to that. So God's calling is God is calling you today to plant churches here. And I want to kind of explain that to you a little bit. We're all called, and we're all called powerfully. I remember when I was first understood that I was called, I was a college student. I went to a church called Bethany in Baton Rouge, and I stood at the back of this church. It was a really big church, 6,000 seat auditorium, and I was at the back of the auditorium, and the worship was really great, and it was powerful worship, and everyone was kind of dancing, jumping up and down, and it was about 30 years ago, so the speaker system was a little different than nowadays. The speaker system, they only had speakers at the front. So at the back of the church, the people that were jumping up and down at the front of the church heard the beat a little bit earlier than the people at the back. So when I was at the back of the church and I was watching the people jump, the people at the front of the church were jumping just a little bit earlier than the people at the back of the church. So to me, it looked like waves of heads were jumping. And so I was at the back of the church. It looked like waves of heads. As people were jumping to the music, the people at the front were jumping early, and it looked like waves. And God spoke to me clearly, and he said, Philip, I want you to go back to Brazil. I was from Brazil. And I want you to plant a church that raises leaders, that plants churches, 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 that raises leaders. And as those people, the waves are coming, that's what I heard God say. And I just, you know, the emotion that hit me was, wow. Wow. God would choose me to do something so great. And let me tell you something. I think God is choosing you to do great things in church planting today. But sometimes we don't hear. Sometimes we miss the calling. Sometimes we get excited and our boat just takes off down that river, but it gets hung up halfway. And Jesus also told a parable about the sower. Let me read this passage a little longer, and then we'll talk about it. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 19 through 23, verse 19, when anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is the seed that is sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 and 30 times what was sown. Those four types of ground, to me, refer to the four ways that sometimes we let our boat on that river get hung up, and we miss out on the great things that God has been calling us to do. You know, the rocky ground, the rocky ground is kind of like short-lived excitement. And to me, you know, when I heard that calling, I went back to Brazil to plant a church that raised leaders, that planted churches that raised leaders. And I went back to Brazil, and the first year I started the church, and we grew to 100 people pretty quickly. And then immediately I started another church. I didn't have any money. I just had 100 chairs and a microphone. I didn't have any idea how to plant churches, really no idea. It was Surge was just beginning. I went down there actually before Surge. I went down in 2000. And I didn't have any idea, but I planted another church because that was what God had put in my heart. And I was so excited about it. And then I went to preach at a friend's church in São Paulo. And I was just so excited. You know, God's called me to plant a church. And I planted this church. And we got 100 people coming. And I've already planted another church. And I started talking to him about this. And he looked at me and he said, "Why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? Why are you planting a church? Why are you planting another church? There are already churches there. Why are you doing that? Are you prideful?" And let me just tell you something a little. I'm Brazilian, but I'm also British. And the thing about British people is, you know, they have a huge pride, but it's like inverted pride. You know, if you call a British person prideful, they're going to prove to you that they're not prideful. So that's like the inverse of pridefulness, you know. And so it talks about the excitement, the short-lived excitement, the rocky ground refers to persecution, and that word got into my heart, and I put the brakes on everything. I put the brakes on everything, and sometimes I think that maybe God has spoken to some of you guys about great things He had plan for your life, maybe years ago, maybe decades ago, something that had excited you guys about things that He had planned for your life, and that over time, maybe something got that boat hung up in that river, and you saw that boat go down and just got hung up in the brush or something. Maybe God wants to set it free today and let your calling begin to take wings and begin to fly. That's what happened to me, and I just got so upset, and for about 10 years, I kind of put the brakes on what God had called me to do. I, you know, because of that that word that got spoken into my heart. It was a sad thing. Our church went, we grew to 100, and then we stayed at around between 100 and 200 for 15 years, and we did very, very little. I did some stuff with Surge, but never in our own ministry, always working through other partners. In our own ministry, we didn't do very much for about 15 years. It was sad. The next soil that we see is the thorns, which are like the worries. You know, people that hear the call, but the thorns grew up and began to suffocate the call. And those are worries, the things that worry. And for me, I had massive worries also. My worries were that I had inadequacies. I was for 15 years, I was worried about my inadequacies. And really, it's a very common worry also. I was very, very clear about my calling. The experience I had at Bethany, where I was right at the back, I mean, no one can take that away from me. I was clear that God had called me to plant a church that raised up leaders, that planted churches that raised up leaders. I was very clear about that. But I was very, very concerned that I was not able to do it. I was so, so scared that I couldn't preach and so scared that I couldn't lead. I was massively afraid about that. So, and it's so clear in the Bible, so many people are like that. Moses was like that. You know, Moses had no denial about his calling. He knew that God had called him. He had that burning bush experience. But at the same time, anytime anybody else that could do anything halfway good, Moses would say, you know, let Aaron do it. You know, he could speak better. Moses was constantly trying to step back and let somebody else do things instead of him. And that was me. I was exactly doing that. And it stifled me. It got my boat in that river constantly getting caught up. And I think that maybe some of you guys, you know that God has called you to do something. It's embryonic there in your heart. And that boat, you were excited in the past. That boat started going down that river, but it got caught up in the brush somewhere. And then you started thinking, well, you know, Pastor Cal, he's so much better than me. Pastor John's so much better than me. This person is leading this. And you began to step back and constantly letting somebody else do something else, constantly saying, you know, they're better than I can't do it. And constantly allowing the worries about your inadequacies stifling what God wants to do through you. The next soil we see is the pathway. You know, the pathway. The pathway is the prophetic soil that God wants to plant you in, where you're going to produce great fruit, plant new churches, be a part of church planting teams here or abroad or wherever it is. And the final soil is the pathway. And the pathway is where Satan, the birds, come and eat that right away. It's the people that are kind of hear the call, but they're kind of deaf. They hear the call, but they're kind of deaf. The people that hear God call them, but because they are deaf, they're concerned about what God can do for them and not so much what they can do for God. Let me just tell you something here. God can do everything you need, but he has something great, an opportunity for you. Look at this verse. You know this verse, Matthew 6:33, amazing verse. My favorite verse in the Bible, a verse that I live. And it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So when you seek his kingdom, what is his kingdom? The things, the advancement of his body of Christ. What is his kingdom? To me, his kingdom is church planting and his righteousness. When you seek church planting, when you seek being a part of church planting, and then all the other things that you need are going to be added to you. And in my life, it's amazing what God has done for me. It's crazy how God has blessed me. I have four children. I sent them all up to Dallas to study, and now they're all coming back to work with me in the church. It's amazing. So I just wanted to give you three practical steps of what you can do to be a part of church planting, other than just giving, other than praying, but three practical steps of what you can do to be a part of church planting. The first thing you can do to be a part of church planting is allow a burning desire in your heart. Maybe you can go. Maybe you can be a part of a team. Maybe you can join the School of Ministry, the Northwood School of Ministry. Maybe you can be a part of the new semester of the school, Northwood School of Ministry. Look at this verse in Ephesians 4:16. It says, "For him the whole body, joined and held together." Amazing two words. Amazing two words because they're words that have to do with civil engineering. They're words that have to do about construction of homes. The words that have to do of two wooden members being put together, cut out, and compacted together. But the part I want to show you, it says, supporting ligaments grows and builds itself up as each part does its work. God has an amazing part in church planting for you. For you, not just giving, but please continue to give, but also an amazing part for you to be involved in. Maybe you could be a part of a team somewhere around here. Maybe there'll be an opportunity for another church plant for you to go. Maybe you're not the senior pastor, but maybe you can be a part of a launch of a team of a new church. The second part, the second thing, which is a bit controversial, is look at this one. This is a bit controversial. Maybe you have been very, very faithful. Maybe you say, "Hey, listen, I'm faithful where I'm at. I'm serving. I'm doing a great job, and I'm really faithful where I'm at." Maybe you are so faithful where you're at that you're not realizing that God has been trying to promote you. Let me say that again. Maybe you're so faithful that you are stuck in a position and you're so faithful at what you're doing that you haven't realized that God has been trying to figure out a way to tell you, "Hey, listen, I'm trying to promote you." And because of your faithfulness where you're at, God has not only not been able to promote you, but he's trying to promote other people to where you are, and he can't get other people promoted because you're clogging up the works. We had a person in our church. One of the ministries in our church is the coffee shop. It's a voluntary ministry. And this ministry, it's a really, food is a really important part of the Brazilian culture. So in this coffee shop, the lady that started it, she was one of the founding members of the church, and she's like the queen of the coffee shop. She's the queen of the coffee shop. And she'd been in there 15 years, and I was so thankful for her because she was so faithful, and she'd been there. She never missed, ever. She never missed. She was running it. She was there, and she had her two helpers, you know, that would do everything. They would do everything. And then we had our new members class, and in our new members class, we taught, you know, God wants to use you. God has great things for you. And one of the new members that came in, she had a bakery, and she was just so excited about helping in the coffee shop, in our coffee shop. So she went up to the queen of the coffee shop, and she said, "Hey," she was so excited, brand new, you know, first week in the church. And she said, "Wow, you know, can I help? And the queen said, "Sure, you can buy yourself a chocolate chip cookie." And she said, "Oh, okay. How much is it?" It's a dollar, five reais. And she said, "Okay, here it is." And she said, "Well, can I do anything else?" And she said, "Sure, you can buy another one and give it to someone else." And she said, "Oh, okay." And she said, "You know, I make really good muffins." And she said, the queen said, "Well, at our church, we do chocolate chip cookies. We don't do muffins." "Oh, okay. Is there anything else I can do to help?" "Sure, come back next week and buy another chocolate chip cookie." And that excitement totally deflated. Sometimes, you know, sometimes God has a promotion for your life. And because you're not hearing the promotion, there are a whole bunch, about 20 other people that need to be promoted, and you're clogging everything up. and maybe it's time to hear the great things and the next step that God has for you. Maybe it's time to hear the next step that God has for you. Maybe being a part of a church planting, of a church planting team. And the final thing, the final key is try something new. You know, we have a, finish with this story here. I had my right hand when I started the church, a real son in the faith. His name is Elton. Actually, his name is Elton John. You know, for the life of me, I can't figure out why a mother would call her son Elton John. But anyway, his name is Elton John. I hired him as a gardener, and then I ordained him as a pastor. And he began working for us. He worked at our church for 10 years. And one of our schools that we started was an international school, and we had American teachers, and he ended up marrying one of these American teachers. They had a kid, and then they decided to move back to the States, and he lives in Florida. And so when he went back to Florida, his heart is totally pastoral. He is a pastor. But when he moved back to Florida, both him and I were worried about what was his ministry going to be like when he lived in Florida. How was that going to work out? And he went back to Florida, and for the first 4 years, he was frustrated because he couldn't fit in, you know, because he felt, man, I'm called to ministry. I'm called to full-time ministry, and this church doesn't realize that I'm called to full-time ministry. I don't have any opportunities here, and so he got a job washing cars and parking cars at a car dealership, and on the weekends he would cut grass, and his wife worked at a school. And so he was just frustrated, you know, God, you know, what are you doing? You know, how come I'm not in full-time ministry? Why can't I preach? And I tried with some of my friends. I had some friends near where he lived and tried to get him connected, but nothing ever worked out. And he moved from one church, then spent a couple of years in one church, and it didn't work out. And then he spent a couple of years at another church, and it didn't work out. And he was so frustrated. And then at a lunch I had with him about 2 weeks ago, he said, God spoke to him and he said, you are full-time. He said, Elton, you are full-time in ministry. You're a full-time pastor and you're a full-time Christian. Get your act together. And when he heard that, his whole mentality changed. His whole mentality changed, and he realized, hey, I am. And so what he did, he went back and he said, man, I'm gonna be a church planter here in my own church. And so he began inviting everybody to the church. He asked the car dealership he was at if he could borrow a van, and he began inviting 20 people at a time to church. And he'd get this van and he'd bring in 20 people from work or wherever, and he'd start inviting them and he'd say, listen, I really would love for you to come to church. And they would say, well, when? And he said, in 3 months' time. And so he'd invite them in 3 months' time so they couldn't say no. He'd set a special day. Well, what is the special occasion? It's a Sunday. You know, there was no special occasion. He'd just invent it. But he'd set a special occasion. And then he'd invite 30, he'd bring 20 people and 30 people. And so much so that the executive pastor of the church started noticing all these people he was inviting. And who is this Elton John? You know, what is this guy? Elton, they had a way of identifying who was inviting who, and everyone was being invited by Elton John. It seemed like a joke, you know, who is? And so finally he called him up and said, you know, Elton, do you know that you bring more people to the church than any other method of bringing people to the church than we have? More than all our Facebook ads, more than every other method, you bring more people than everything else we have. And he said, is that right? He said, yeah. Tell me about you. And so he said that he was a pastor. He said he worked for us in Brazil, and he was a pastor for 10 years. And Elton told the whole story. And so eventually they developed a bit of a relationship, and eventually that church invited him to speak, which is a miracle because he doesn't speak English very well at all, you know. But they invited him to speak, church of about 1,000 in Florida. They invited him to speak, and then he thought, wow, this is my opportunity, because he had been praying about winning his next door neighbor, but he hadn't actually ever spoken to her. And so he'd been secretly cutting her grass, because he has a grass cutting company as well. So he'd been secretly cutting her grass. When she traveled, she would come back and her grass would cut. And so she came and knocked on his door and said, Elton, did you cut my grass? And he said, yes, is that okay? Sorry. And she said, yeah, but I need to pay you. And he said, no, you don't need to pay me. I'm cutting my grass. I'm going to cut yours too. And then eventually when he got invited to speak, he knocked on her door and he said, I was invited to speak at my church. It's a big honor. Would you come and visit? And so she said, she couldn't say no, right? So she said, yes. When is it? He said, it's in 6 months' time. You know, American churches have very planned out events. And so she said, okay. And so he made her put it down on her calendar. And then 5.5 months went by. And then he planned a party at his house the week before he was supposed to speak. And he invited everybody, all the key people, leaders from his church, to his house, the pastor and the associate pastor and some small group leaders. And he invited 30 of them to his house. And the only person that wasn't from his church was his neighbor. And he invited her. And then the week before, and they had a party. And so he introduced her to all the people from his church. You know, this is this person, this is this person. And then when she came to the church the next weekend, she already knew everybody from the church. And so then at the church, she told him, wow, I love your church. She got saved and she became a part of the church. Let me tell you something. You are a full-time church planter, whether you like it or not. That's what God has called you to do right here, right now, here at Northwoods, or a part of another church plant. I don't know where it is, but God has called you. That is God's calling. That is seeking first the kingdom of God. When you put that first, all your other things, all the other concerns you have are going to be added unto you. So I want to pray for you today that God is going to get your paper boat that is on that river and kind of set it free, and it's going to go down and reach the destiny that God has for it. Is that okay? Why don't you close your eyes there where you are? Father, I thank you so much for this amazing, amazing church, Lord, that is doing so many things around the world, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for Northwoods, Lord, and the influence. Thousands of churches directly planted, Lord, and thousands more indirectly planted because of those, Father. I pray, Lord God, that today, Lord, you would baptize hundreds of people, Lord God, with a desire to do church planting here or abroad, Lord God, in their hearts, Lord God, that you would spark a desire, Lord God, for them to plant churches themselves, Lord God. In your name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Northwoods Online, good morning. I am so glad that you tuned in with us today and that you were able and willing to roll with the punches with us here. You know, in Peoria, we heard from one of our surge partners, and because of concerns for his safety, because of the danger in where he is ministering, we kind of had to make a last minute decision to not stream today's service online. So I'm glad that you could join us for live worship, and I hope that you enjoyed the message replay from Philip Murdoch when he was here back in February. You know, he is also a Surge Regional Church Planting Director who is doing incredible work in Brazil. And so I'm so glad that we were able to hear from him again today. And you know, as we've been talking about Surge and church planting, I just wanted to give you a couple of ways before we go today of how you can get involved in Surge. So the first is by becoming a prayer partner. Those pastors need people praying for them. And so if you haven't already, fill out the connection card and click that you're interested in becoming a prayer partner. The second is to give to Surge. And you know, it costs $3,000 to plant a church, which is honestly incredible that they can do it with so few financial resources. But also we know that $3,000 is a lot to just be able to give all at once. So I encourage you to go to the Surge website, northwoods.church/surge, and see how you can join a crowdfund of a church plant. And just by giving as little as $1, you can join a crowdfund for a church plant and help us reach our goal of planting 3,000 churches globally by 2030. So again, thank you so much for being here. I hope you'll tune in next Sunday as we have a normal service with Pastor Nathan teaching the second week of our 7 series. We'll see you next Sunday.